We spend a lot of time looking at what's going on in the world. And as I was telling the men last night, there is no one to stand in the gap. And we need some heroes today. And those heroes are the people that are listening to God's word. The heroes are the ones that live the upright life. The heroes that are going to save our government, to save our neighborhoods, and to save our homes are the ones that are going to walk with God. I was reading through the book of Micah last Sunday after I'd finished preaching on Micah, and I saw something that I thought was so interesting that I decided we need to have a lesson on this. How many of you in here like courtroom dramas? How many of you like that? How many of you in here like that movie called A Few Good Men? Yeah, me too. Jack Nicholson, when he says, "You can't handle the truth," right? That was my favorite line. I got goosebumps when I heard that. And I just love the way that movie ended and all the things about that movie. But I remember as a child, and I was just a child watching this guy by the name of Raymond Burr play a character called Perry Mason. I wanted to call him Ironside because later on he became Ironside. But this is Perry Mason here, and I watched him with my dad and used to love the way Perry Mason figured things out. My dad, before he passed, one of the shows that he loved to watch was a show called Law and Order. You remember that? And the thing I wanted to do today, because we're going to talk about courtroom drama, the thing that I loved about that show when I watched it a few times with him is whenever the commercials were over and they were getting ready to go back, they had that dun-dun. You remember that? And I went online to see if I could find that sound so I could just play it during the sermon today. That every time I was getting ready to make a point, I would hit the button and it would go, dun-dun. But I couldn't find it. So today, every time I get ready to make a point, I want you guys to just go, dun-dun. Can you do that for me? Just do it in your mind. You can't get it all together to do it, but just do it in your mind. Because what we have today is we have Micah, the book of Micah, and God is holding court. And the scriptures were read to you just a few moments ago is the courtroom scene where the prosecution is setting up what is going on. The interesting thing about this is the prosecution is also the judge. But we have Micah in the audience as well, working with the prosecution. And so the very first thing I want you to note here is in the prosecution, in these first five verses that Brent read for us just a few moments ago, he's talking about what the charge is. And he says, "You have forgotten the salvation and the freedom that God has given you. You have forgotten the salvation and the freedom that God has given you." If you look back, and we're having a great series on Sunday morning. John Wharton's teaching here in the auditorium class, and he's talking about what the Israelites went through, the plagues and things like that. I get to look at his notes before he teaches, and Nancy comes and tells me what a great class it is. But if you want to hear about what Israel had to go through to get out of slavery, it's an amazing story, and it's kind of found in Exodus chapter 1 through chapter 14. We don't have time to read it all today, but I've got it in your notes, so if you want to go back this afternoon and read it, it's an amazing story. What God did to get them out of slavery. And then the second thing he mentions in there is he mentions what happened in Numbers chapter 22 through 25, where this king, a Moabite king, saw the Israelites, saw the magnitude of the Israelites, and he knew that this prophet of his, that of God's, that whatever he said came true. And so he was trying to use money to bring this guy up to him and curse the Israelites so they wouldn't take over his land. And then what happened next was he kept sending money, and there's a great story in there. How many of y'all talk to your animals? Yeah, I know. Everybody has an animal talks to them like they understand. My mom was telling me the other day that her dog understands her. I didn't have the heart to tell her that the dog doesn't understand her. But that's just between her. But in this story, the prophet talks to the donkey, and the donkey talks back. Great story. You need to read it sometime if you haven't. But at the very end, God does not curse the Israelites. God blesses them. So the Moabite king sends in some people to turn the Israelites away from God and worship the Moabite gods. And God puts a plague on them. And when he puts that plague on them, they repent, and God brings them back into his promised land. God says in this part, you have forgotten the salvation and the freedom God has given you. I love Richard's comments today in the Lord's Supper. I thought they were exceptional comments and some good things to think about, so forth. But the one thing that I was thinking during those thoughts is that one of the reasons why we partake of communion each week is because we don't want to forget the salvation and the freedom we have in Christ. Amen? And that's part of the reason why we do that, is so we will remember, so that we will keep in the forefront of our minds the freedom and the salvation that we have in Christ. So God calls the mountains and calls the foundations of the earth to listen to what he has to say. He lays out the prosecution. And then the defense says this, Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with a thousand of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Basically, what he's saying here is that you are an unfair God, and we can't possibly please you. And you think, wow, why would they say that? But I got to thinking about this when I was writing this sermon. I was thinking about the times when I was growing in my faith. And as soon as I would get one part of my faith down, as soon as I would get one area of my life taken care of, it seems like somebody brought up something else I needed to be doing. And sometimes I just didn't feel like I could measure up. And I think the Israelites, when they have this complaint, when they say, this is our defense, what shall we do? Because there's nothing we can do that's going to please you. And when the reality of our life comes before us, the sin of our life is in front of us, we realize there is nothing we can do. And we may even be thinking to ourselves, could we possibly sacrifice our firstborn, which was a common thing in those days? Could we possibly sacrifice our firstborn and take away our sins? And we know the answer to that is no, we couldn't. We couldn't. And in the middle of this courtroom scene, with God being the prosecution and the judge and the Israelites in front of them, there is an objection raised by Micah. And Micah says these words right here in his objections. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And I want you to take those words and circle those words, because that is the key to this chapter right here. You know, God doesn't require of us more than we can handle. But he does require some things from us. And he says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. It's the same thing when Jesus was asked the greatest command. He was asked, what is the greatest command? And Jesus' reply was, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the key to this life is not about getting everything just perfect. The key to this life is loving God and loving others. And if we can do that, then we will have success as a Christian. It doesn't mean that I have to know it all and be it all today, but the one thing that I need to do today is I need to love God and I need to love others. And if I'm doing that, the rest will follow in place. You see, this walk with God that we've got is a difficult walk if all you ever do is try to follow the rules. If all you ever do is follow the rules, it's a very difficult walk. But the walk becomes easy for us when we start to look to God, to love Him, and in loving Him, we also love others. And that's what Micah is saying here in his objection. The prosecution, Micah chapter 6 through 16. Listen, the Lord is calling to the city. And to fear your name is wisdom. Heed the rod and the one who appointed it. Am I still to forget your ill-gotten treasures, your wicked house, and the short ephod, which is accursed? Shall I acquit someone with dishonest scales, with bags of false ways? You rich people are violent. And your inhabitants are liars, and their tongues speak deceitfully. He's basically saying you are dishonest in your business, you are violent, you are liars, and your religion is a sham. You see, a lot of people can call themselves Christians. This is one of the things that just amazes me is some of the entertainers and the lifestyle they live and the things that they do, and then from time to time they will kiss their cross or they will point a finger up into heaven as if they are followers of God. And the reality of it is they do that for show. They don't do it for the right reasons. You see, their religion is a sham. But as I was thinking about this today and thinking about religion as a sham, I was thinking about the times in my life where I came to worship and I had sin in my life and I was not repentant of it. But I came into worship and I sang the songs, and at the right times I sang the songs out loud. And when it was time to say the prayers, I bowed my head, and even sometimes I read the scripture and I followed the sermon notes. And while I had all the outward trappings of being a Christian and doing everything right, my religion was a sham. And today, God is before the Israelites, and He is saying to them, your religion is a sham. And so they speak up in the next few verses, in chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. He says, the faithful have been swept from the land. Not one upright person remains. Everyone lies in wait to shed blood. They hunt each other with nets. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. Judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire, and they all conspire together. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with the woman who lies in your embrace, guard the words of your lip. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are members of his own household. And what the defense is saying here is, don't blame us. Our government, our neighborhood, and our homes are all messed up. I cannot tell you the number of times I've had to turn off the news here lately, because it seems like everywhere we turn, the government, the neighborhoods, and our homes are all messed up. Amen? We spend a lot of time looking at what's going on in the world. And as I was telling the men last night, there is no one to stand in the gap. And we need some heroes today. And those heroes are the people that are listening to God's word. The heroes are the ones that live the upright life. The heroes that are going to save our government, to save our neighborhoods, and to save our homes are the ones that are going to walk with God. And we need men and women to be doing that on a consistent basis and showing light to the world. We need to quit being the Christians that are a part of the Secret Service. Nobody knows we're Christians. We need to be the kind of people that even if we lose friendships and even if we lose promotions, even if we are talked bad about, we need to be the kind of Christians that stand out and stand up for what is right and for what is godly. The verdict is in Micah chapter 7, verse 20. But I've only got a few of these verses in here because we don't have time for them. The verdict is this: who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledge an oath to our ancestors in days long ago. You may be here today and your life seems like it's a mess. I've talked to several people in the last little bit, not here at church, but out in the world, and their life is a mess. They don't really know which ends up, where to turn, what to do. And I've talked with members of the church in my time being the preacher here who have made terrible mistakes. And they have come to me and they have said, my life and what I am doing with my life has to change. And I don't know where to begin. And I can't help but think of the Israelites here in this scene. When they're looking to God and they see His mercy, they see His love, they see His grace, they see the mess that they're in, and where do they go? And the very first thing that I tell people and that God is telling you today is start with obedience. Start with obedience. If you can't do everything to fix your life, the one thing you can do to fix your life is to start with obedience. And it may very well be that there's just one area of your life that you need to work on right now. And you're thinking, you know, the rest of my life is going pretty well. Things are going pretty good. But this one area I'm holding on to and I want to let go. And I want to let God. And I need to take that one area and find what I need to do to be obedient to God in that area. It is so simple. You just got to start with obedience. You're not going to be able to fix everything in your life. You're not going to be able to deal with the consequences of sin, but you can start with obedience. One of the men that was at the conference this past Saturday night was telling the story about how his marriage was over. He didn't think that he could ever fix the things that he had messed up, and he had no idea where to start. And my words to him were, start with obedience. Be obedient to God in every area of your life and He'll work out the differences. The second thing that you need to know about the verdict is the judge loves mercy, grace, and forgiveness. The judge loves mercy, grace, and forgiveness. would what judge not that she be not judged, for whatever judgment you put on others, it's going to be paid back to you. We have a judge that loves mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and we've got to give, number one, that love, grace, and forgiveness to ourselves. And then secondly, we need to give it to others. And in doing so, we are on the right path with God, because what does the judge require? This is what he requires. He has shown you, O mortals, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And if you're not familiar with these words and how it applies to your life, the very first thing I want you to notice here is the word justice. Justice is to use our position in a fair and just way. We need to use our position in a fair and just way. And it doesn't matter what your position is. You could be the CEO of a company, or you could be in the mailroom. It doesn't matter. Whatever position you have, you need to do it in a fair and just way. I know that there are people that are in the work environment in corporate America that do things to sabotage each other. Amen? I know there are people in business that do things to get ahead. And wherever you are in this life, wherever you're working, whatever position you hold, you need to make sure you use your position in a fair and just way. And it may very well be that you're just a grandparent and you need to love your grandkids in a fair and just way. The second word I want you to look at is mercy. We all need mercy from God, but we also need to give mercy, and that mercy is loving the hard to love. Loving the hard to love. I'm going to be doing a series next year. I'm working ahead into next year. It's called 40 Days of Love. And the reason why I'm going to do that series is because I'm going to tell you, I've been struggling with loving people here lately. Some of you are getting on my last nerve. I'm not going to name names, but you know. But what I realize is that if I'm going to be God's man and I'm going to be with God's people, I have to love those that are hard to love, not just in the church, but outside the church. And I need to show patience and kindness and love to those people as much as I show it to you. The third thing is faithfulness. And faithfulness is a consistent, unwavering, firm belief. A consistent, unwavering, and firm belief. And what I mean by that is you've got to have faith in God all the time. You've got to quit worrying and start praying. You've got to quit thinking about what does the future hold and start thinking about the God that holds the future. You need to spend more time working on your faith so that when the bumps of this life come along and you think, that's not fair, you know that God's going to even out the score one day. I was telling the men last night that I've taught my kids since they were little that life is not fair, because it is definitely not fair. I told my boys this, and I'm going to tell you this. If life was fair, I would have been born rich and not just good looking. And you need to remember that. Walk humbly, right? That's the next one. Humility. What is humility? And it is a proper perspective of oneself. It's a proper perspective of self. Humble does not mean that you walk around downplaying who you are, that you can't be excited about achievements, that you can't be proud of your kids or anything like that. Humbly means I have a proper perspective of myself, and I feel like at times I have a better than proper perspective of myself because I know the sinner I am. But what else do I know? I know the Savior that I have. And that no matter how much I have sinned in this life and fallen short of the glory of God, I have a salvation that is given to me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in that blood, it's in that atoning sacrifice that I can stand confidently before you today. Not because of any good thing that I have done, not because of any right thing I have done, but because of what God has done for me. And my beg for you today, as we close out this lesson, is that you will take a moment of your time and you will reflect on where you are in your walk with God. Some of you need to make some steps in a new direction. You need to mature your faith. You need to find a place to serve. Some of you may need to learn some things that you didn't know. Some of you may be dealing with sin in your life. And some of you in the audience may need to take that step towards baptism where you confess that Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins. And when you do that, you'll start your walk with God. I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what God is using this sermon for in your life. But there is something that I do know. Is if you listen to God's word, He will speak to you and He will tell you what you need to do. And if you're confused about something, we have elders in this church that would be glad to talk to you and help you understand better what God wants in your life. At the end of this service, I will be in the back, be greeting you and so forth. And if there's anything I can do for you, please stop and tell me. I'll be glad to help in any way I can as well. Each Lord's week we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song for one reason only. It's to give you a chance to reflect on your worship, to reflect on communion, and to reflect on the words that were given in the message. And at that time, you need to reflect, am I going to go out of here the same person I came in? Because if you go out of here the same person that came in here, you haven't worshiped. You've just spent another hour somewhere else. So my prayer for you today is that you leave here today changed forever. Let us stand and sing.